Well, as Jeff indicated, this is going to be somewhat of a departure from the usual presentation that I try to make at this time. Having just returned from a trip to India, felt it would be appropriate to talk to you some about that trip, some of the work that went on there this year and over the course of the last several years since this congregation has had a part in that work. I believe probably if there's a justification for doing something like this, it probably would rest in a passage like Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, where the Apostle Paul talks about, or rather Luke talks about, the work of the Apostle Paul in making a journey to churches that had previously been established in order to teach them, in order, he says in verse 22, to strengthen the disciples there. And that's really been the primary focus of the work that I've been involved in for the last several years in going to India, is working with brethren there and hopefully assisting them and in their growth in the Lord. I think another passage that would have application to this is in Philippians, the fourth chapter, where we find Paul writing about the support that the Philippian church had given to him and to his work. He talks about having been in Thessalonica and having received from them the support, the financial support that made his work there possible. And he makes the statement that it's not that he was so much seeking the gift as he was the record the account, the counting of or the crediting of the work that they took part in being partners with Paul in the preaching that he did. And I believe what he was striving to do was to establish there the sense of having a part in the work, that the Philippians, establishing in the Philippians a sense that they had a part in that work that Paul had been engaged in Thessalonica and other places as well. And churches that send support to preachers working in other places have a part in that work. And I think it is probably wise to try and cultivate that sense in a congregation that we're doing something not just here, but we're doing something there as well. And I don't mean just in India. This congregation has a part in several works in many different places. And I hope that you have that sense that you are accomplishing things in those places. Well, I never can keep the count just exactly right. I think this was either the 12th or the 13th trip that I've made to India since about 1996. It's been a very, very encouraging work, and I'm just so grateful to you and for the part that you have in making that possible. And I hope that learning about some of these things will be of some interest and benefit to you. The reason this slide is titled Last Trip to India has to do not so much with myself or with other fellows that went on the trip this year, as much as it has to do with Brother Ed Harrell. He talks a little bit more each year about backing out of this and not being as involved as he has been in the past. And when you get to be, 80 years old, making a trip to the other side of the world is not a very easy thing to do. And so he kind of weighs that each year, it seems. And he was talking in kind of the same way again this year in all of us kind of snicker behind his back and say, yeah, right, we'll believe that when we see it. But that day will certainly come when he's not able to continue on those trips. But we began our work in the city of Mumbai, or Bombay, as it is perhaps more popularly known in this part of the world, where we met with brethren in about three different churches, actually, located in the area of Bombay. And when I say in the area, I mean within a couple hours' drive. We had a series of classes that we conducted. Actually, at the end of the trip, we went into Bombay and then we exited through Bombay, and we spent the last several days of our trip there, and that's when we conducted our classes with several of the brethren. And just a word on those classes for those of you that that haven't heard this before. Basically, what we do is teach a series of classes. Most of them run Monday through Thursdays. Some of them are conducted over a weekend, like a Friday, Saturday. But we have these classes primarily for preachers. There are some instances where others besides preachers are in the class, but in most instances it's strictly preachers who come from surrounding areas of the cities that we're conducting the classes in. They come in from those areas, attend these classes, and the thought is behind this is that rather than our spending a great deal of time and effort going out into the countless number of villages through around these major Indian cities, that those brethren are better equipped to do that kind of work than we are. But what we can offer, perhaps, is some assistance in the way of teaching and instructing and building up and helping those brethren to develop their abilities, which they then use. And by the way, they are very active and they are very busy at work in using the abilities that they have. We also met for a period of time in Delhi, again, in a major northern Indian city. This is somewhat of a new opportunity for us. There's a church in Delhi, smaller congregation, about 20 people that meets, but seemingly a very good group of and very, very active group of Christians there that we hope in the future there will be some continuing opportunities there. This is a man named Tong Guite, who lives in the extreme northeastern part of India, a town called Shillong. This was another of the cities that we held a series of weekend classes in, as well as taught, and I'll talk some more in a moment about preaching that we would do, but we preached a series of weekend meetings there in Shillong as well. And Shillong is in the northeast part of India is quite interesting. I don't know if you can really tell by this picture, but Tong, even his name suggests, has more of an Asian aspect to his physical appearance, and then as well as his name. If you're familiar with the geography of that part of the world, then you're aware of the fact that Burma is located to the northeast of India, and there are a lot of Burmese Indians that live in this northeastern part of the country. Politically, it's a bit of an unsettled area. They really want to be separate and independent, and so the Indian government cracks down on that part of the country with some regularity in this. So there's some difficulty getting in and out of that part of the area. On our trip up, we flew to the largest city with an airport near to Shillong is a town called Guwahati. And we flew into Guwahati and hopped in a car and had an enjoyable 3.5 hour drive up a mountain for a distance of about 40 miles. To go 3.5 hours to go 40 miles. And I mean, there's traffic, and it's very, very difficult traveling. When we left from Shillong, we had to go back through Guwahati, and we left in a little different fashion. This time we were able to catch what is a pretty unreliable mode of transportation, a helicopter. We were able to fly with a shuttle from Shillong back to Guwahati, and that 3.5 hour drive took 25 minutes to make by helicopter. So it was a whole lot easier leaving than it was getting there. But I felt quite guilty, kind of moaning and bemoaning that 3 hour drive after I got to Shillong, because I found out that some of those men that came to our class there from Burma took 4 days to make the trip by train and by bus. Service, again, is very sketchy a lot of times, very unreliable. This man, Tong, is just he's in his early 30s, just a really impressive young preacher, quite a capable fellow. He's one of the translators that we rely heavily upon to do our work. This is part of the congregation there in Shillong, and maybe you can judge a little better from that picture that kind of that Asian influence in the people there. Here again is Tong with Dr. Guite, one of his not a relative, but certainly a man who has been quite influential in his life. He and his wife live in Delhi and are part of that church I was telling you about a few moments ago. There you see Ed once again with one of the brethren there from the Northeast. Another place that we worked was in Hyderabad. Now, I'm not going to show you pictures of every place that we went. I'll give you some of the statistics. However, we conducted classes and preached in about 8 different cities. And if my calculations were right, because it's hard to follow where everybody ends up going, because all of our plans. Well, we say amongst ourselves frequently, rule number one in doing the work in India is be flexible. Be ready to change your plans. And so a lot of times places we plan to go, we're not able to go. Sometimes we work in places that we didn't even know we were going to have an opportunity to go. And the upshot of all that is, to the best I'm able to recall, we preached in 16 different churches in those cities that we were in. Some of those opportunities to preach included some weekend meetings, as I mentioned before. Others were strictly on the Lord's Day, gathering with brethren and preaching there. Hyderabad, kind of a south central city in India, 6th largest city. They really don't know how many people they have in their cities. I think the best guess is that in Hyderabad there's somewhere around 6 million. Total population, a lot of times people will ask this, what's the population of India? Well, it's over 1 billion. And then the religious makeup of the country as a whole, that is 80% are Hindu, 15% are Muslim. And the Muslim population is basically from the north all the way down to Hyderabad. There's a large Muslim population in Hyderabad, but south of that, there's not a very large Muslim population, and that's simply because back in the 1400s and 1500s, Muslim warlords came down out of the north and they conquered down, and that's Hyderabad's about as far as they got in their conquest. But you have 15% Muslim. The remaining 5% breaks down to being roughly 2 or 3% of the Christian, meaning groups of various denominational affiliations, and then various regional religious groups make up that final 2 or 3%. Hyderabad has been kind of a home base to us. This year we traveled around more than we have in previous years to a number of cities, and it always, there's a feeling, you have to understand, I'm saying this in kind of a figurative way. There's always a feeling, sort of a feeling of coming home when we get back to Hyderabad. That's where we've spent most of our time. That's where we've done most of our work, and we're just so very familiar with that area. It's always good to get back there, and probably in the future, Lord's willing for us to go back, we'll spend more time in Hyderabad and have people come in from these other places to our classes there. In Hyderabad, there are a couple of very impressive, very substantial churches and this church, the church in Mullally, is I think probably the most impressive congregation, not only in Hyderabad, the most impressive one that we work with. Started about 17 years ago, about 25 members, and it now has 150 in attendance, most of those being Christians. They believe are very close to appointing elders, which is quite unusual in India. But there are some very capable men there in Hyderabad, and there you see Russ Roberts, one of the men who went with us as he is teaching. Just again, some not as good a quality pictures as others, but there you see the picture of the Mullally Church, the church building, back when it was being built. And those previous pictures are some of the early years of the congregation. Russ was there back in the late 90s, and just kind of gives you a sense there of where they've come to. That's their present meeting place. In 2004, when they had about 120 people that were attending. So in the intervening 6 years, there's continued to be growth. This church is now supporting preachers and other work in the villages around Hyderabad, which is quite a significant, I think there's about half a dozen men that they're helping to provide support for. They have a man that you know, if you're a member here, Brother Vijay Benson, who visited here not too long ago, is the man who works with this congregation as their evangelist. There's the interior of the building. There's some of the key men. You see Benson there holding the books, and to his, what would that be, his left, is Brother Jivanandam, and then off to the extreme side there, in the checkered shirt, is Ratnam. The man in the yellow shirt standing beside Ed is Brother Wilson, and then the other fellow in the green shirt on the other end is Benson's uncle, Charles, who, along with Benson's father, Judson, going back into the 70s, did some of the earliest work in villages around Hyderabad. And Judson, Benson's father, has passed away. But he and his brother Charles are really the men who I would say were the kind of the bedrock of the Indian work in that area. And there you just see some more of the scenes in the course of a service. You can see the man in the aisle. He's carrying, you see a stick off to one side. What he's doing is he's taking up the collection. Rather than having a tray that they pass around, they have a bag that hangs on one stick, and they hangs on a stick, and they walk by and they hold the bag out to each person, and they are able to put their contribution into the bag. There you see a picture of a recent class that was held. We had about the same number of men as in this picture. The other congregation in Hyderabad is the Balanagar Church, and there again you see some of the early years of this church, and back to 1994. And there's a picture of the building that they meet in at present. These buildings, by the way, were constructed with monies that were donated by individual Christians from here in the U.S. Brother Ed Harrell, over the past decade and a half, has done a great deal of work in helping get those funds and get them sent to the Indian Brethren, and has constructed several buildings like this one in Balanagar. Here you see an earlier picture of the man who does the preaching there. His name is Surrender. Always kind of laugh about that. That's an ironic name for a preacher, I think. You know, Surrender. But he's quite a capable man. He is the lady in the... I always get in trouble when I start calling colors. That's a green, sorry, to me. I don't know, it's probably turquoise or something like that. But the lady in the green, sorry, is Surrender's wife. She is Benson's sister. So Surrender, obviously then, is Benson's brother-in-law. And then there you see their three daughters there. Here's another. This is the Girder church in the village of Girder, located outside of Hyderabad, is where the family of Judson and Charles and Benson and all of them started. And you see there's a building that has been constructed there, a church of just a little under 200 meets. At this in this congregation. There you see some of the early years in that congregation there in Girder. And the building that took place had quite a large crowd there on that occasion, and there you see as it exists today, completed in 2001. Here are just some of the men that attend our classes. Momin Pet, another congregation that meets in the vicinity of Hyderabad. As you see there, the note is of some 15 buildings that have been constructed, and that some of that work that Ed has done. There's some of the men that attend the classes that were held at Balanagar. They're men who come from the Momin Pet Church, and there's the Momin Pet Church being built and being dedicated. They will have a service at which they will gather together. They do this even when they build a new house. They will have a dedication of their house, and it'll just be a time of thanksgiving to God for the benefits that are provided. We had classes in Bangalore. They are calling that city Bangalore now. Indians are as they break from that British influence, they are taking old names. Usually they are names associated with villages near the cities that the British built. And they're attaching those names to these large cities. But this is Bangalore. When you call to get some technical help with your computer, you're probably talking to someone in Bangalore. It is the major computer center. A building has been constructed there for the church in Bangalore. The young man with Ed here is named Gangadhar, and is quite a capable man. The church formerly met in his home, which is here. He lived in a rented house, and the congregation met with him. They met up on his rooftop, and there you see in earlier years they were gathered, and there's the building being constructed. As I said, most of our teaching is done with the view of trying to help preachers and teaching and learning. In the course of our preaching in these churches, there are times when we baptize, when people are baptized. On this trip, there were 8 who were baptized in the course of our work. But those are that's work that the Indians have been doing. These are people that will come to the church services that we're preaching in, or they may even come to some of the classes and attend the classes in order to learn more. But the baptisms that take place while we're there are really not a result of our being there and what we're doing. It's a result of what the Indian brethren have been doing prior to our arriving. And there you see one of the men that was with us on the trip. Some of you will recognize him, Bill Robinson. There were 8 men on the trip. They were all veteran workers in India, if I could use that term. There was one man who was a new man to our group. His name is Ed Brand. But Ed had been to India a number of times previously, but was a very, very capable and very good addition to the group that has gone before. And there again, you just get a sense of some of the preaching that is done. On this instance, there were 3 men up there. Usually there would just be 2. There would be Ed and the translator. But in this instance, we've got 2 translators. There are 2 languages that the lesson is being translated into. And there you see some of the group gathered there in Bangalore once again. Chennai is another major city on the east coast. We spent our time there with the classes that we taught. And there's a brother named Simon, one of our translators in Chennai. He translates into Tamil for us. There you see him again in an earlier year. This is in a former location where the church in Chennai met. Ed always laughed about it. They meet in a new place now, and Ed was very happy to know that they were meeting in a new place, because any time he preached, he was always concerned about raising his hands up and hitting that fan over his head. And the new place doesn't have the fan. But there's some of the class that there in Chennai, and we met in a rented hall. There again, you get a sense of what, in years gone by, what took place in 96, and I would think this is probably my first trip, a picture from my first trip. We met on the rooftop of the tourist hotel, and let me tell you, you do not want to be a tourist at the tourist hotel. But we met on the rooftops there, and there you see again some of the old ambassador cars. These are you almost don't see these cars on the roads anymore. They're much more, the cities are changing, much more modern. They'll have, I tell you, the traffic, though, is still pretty much the same. They'll have, we laughed on this trip, one of the guys at one point counted 4 lanes on the road, you know, with the lanes painted on the road. There were 4 lanes, and he counted 7 lanes of traffic. the lanes are just suggestions. And as are traffic lights and traffic cops and most anything else there. And there again, this is at another class picture from the church and the church building in Ballinagar. That's a little blurry there. So was that one again. That goes back to Mullally. Ed again, teaching there with Benson. There you see some of the local kinds of scenery that you come across. This is what we call our quote-unquote interviews. And here you have Ed and Bill engaged in this. And what we do is we spend time trying to get to know these guys as best we can in the limited time that we have. And so while classes are going on, these men will come down either individually or maybe in a smaller group like this, and we'll just talk about their work, talk about their congregation, how things are going. Some of these men receive support from American churches. Others do not. And so those that do receive support from American churches, we'll write up a little report with some pictures and send it to the American brethren just to let them know that, you know, somebody had been over there and made contact with the folks that they're supporting. In many instances, that's the only kind of report that American churches get, because these men aren't able, most of them are not able to speak English, much less write a letter, to write some kind of a report like we're accustomed to getting from American brethren. So sometimes that's just not possible. And so what we're able to send to these churches is sometimes the only thing they receive. And there you just get another picture of some of that interviewing going on, and there's some other scenes. Here Ed's with one of the brethren in Bangalore. There was a debate that occurred in India back in November. Brother Ed Harrell conducted a debate with Brother Jim Waldron on matters having to do with institutional practices among Christians. And brethren who support institutions are very much at work, have been for many years in India. And Brother Waldron felt that the work that was going on there with Ed and others that have been going with him for years was unsettling, and so he challenged Ed to a debate on these matters, and Ed said, okay, we'll talk about them. So they met in November, and there were there was a large gathering. It's always hard to know how many people are present. The Indians will estimate a crowd to be around 800, and Americans will look at it and say, oh no, there's 400 there. So it's hard to know, but there were several hundred people gathered for the debate. There you see Ed and Brother Jim Waldron. If you see in the background there, Bill Robinson went over with Ed in this past November. And there you just get some of the scenery. The debate really did generate some interest, I believe, in our work. There you get another picture of those brethren from the Northeast. And this man in the front that has the red tie on is quite a capable man who's highly respected by these brethren. His name is Long Cochin. There again, you kind of get the sense of that Asian influence just in the name. Well, the pictures remain pretty much the same, and it was, again, I believe, a very good trip. I believe we accomplished a great deal, and in all told, in all of the classes that we taught, there were just under 400 people that attended those classes. The vast majority of those would have been men who were preaching. The vast majority of those would have been men who received no financial support for their preaching, and they are working in villages teaching small groups of, and throughout many, many villages, groups of, 15, 20 people. But it's just a real, it's such an encouragement to go over and to see the work that those brethren are committed to, and to see the way in which it has progressed over many years. I know it for Ed Harrell, it has been just a central part of his life, and a central part has become a central part of his work, and he has a, I believe, rightly so, has a sense of having really accomplished something. And he would, of course, not take any credit for it, but, credit to whom credit is due. And he's done a great thing there. And I'm just happy that I've had a chance to be around to see it happen. And I thank you again for making that possible. Well, the work that's going on over there is a work that really is not focused on how many church buildings can be built. The work that's going on there is a work that is focused upon teaching the gospel of Jesus to people who will embrace it and who will live by it. And then they band together and they work as a local church with other people who have embraced that same gospel. It's a work that goes on worldwide, including here. And if you're not a part of that work, then tonight we want to give you the opportunity to become a part of something bigger than yourself. Something as big as God, as big as God's Son, whom the Lord sent to die for you, so that you might be saved from your sins. And if it's your desire this night to be delivered from the guilt of your sins, then we urge you to do what people in India are doing, and what people in America are doing, and what people all over this world are doing. That's just take up your Bible and find out from your Bible what God wants people to do. And if you understand that what He wants men and women to do in order to be saved from their sins is to believe in Jesus, and in that belief turn from their sins and confessing Him to be the Christ, to be baptized, washing the guilt of their sins away. If that's your understanding of what God in His Word has indicated He desires from you, then tonight we stand ready to give you any help we can and giving your obedience to the Word of God, and joining that great cause of Christ that is far bigger than any single person. Won't you come and be a part of that while we stand and sing?